to a brand new episode of Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. Hello, hi, I'm back. I didn't do an episode last week. I kind of took the week off because I had a lot that was going on last weekend, so I was like, I'll just take a little break and I'll come back. Because season 5 was like 50 something episodes long, so I figured, you know what, I'll take a little break off and then we'll start a new season. I mean, it doesn't really mean anything, it just kind of like keeps them organised on like podcast platforms or whatever. But anyways, hi, let's consider this a new season. I made a cake today. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But, I just decorated it. It looks kind of nice. I mean, it still looks a little busted, but I feel like it's still going to taste good. And that's the important thing, right? Foxes yell the future into the silence of a starless night, and I listen with trembling lips so suggestible to your own. The honey flows from the sky like acid rain, destroying the old earth so something new can flower and bloom where my past used to pasture. I can feel your fingertips on my right wrist, like you are urging me to write a story where two princesses journey across ancient lands, landing in each other's laps. I am writing. I may or may not have been doing a little spell last night in my garden. Listen, it was more like 1 o'clock this morning, Sunday morning. It's a little reading. And something good is coming, right? Some kind of beautiful love. And so I thought, I'll just do a little something, you know, just see what happens. And I remember just saying to myself, I want a sign. And I just thought, a fox. I want a fox to tell me that it's all going to be fine and it's all going to work out. And I'm going in the right direction and everything is fine. So I'm out in the garden. It's about 1 a.m. I'm doing my little spell. I'm having a lovely time. And just as I finish up, I suddenly hear this fox yelling from the woods. And I was like, oh my God. I just thought, oh, well, there we are. There we are. So I made the cake today because I just thought, you know, firstly, I want cake, so I'll make a little cake, have a little cake. Also, I wanted to kind of, I gave a little bit back. I said, you know, thank you for letting me know, put out in the garden with my flowers, And now it's just time to play the waiting game, knowing that something is on the way, but just waiting for it to come, waiting for it to happen, and just hoping that I can, for the first time in my life, be patient. We'll see how that turns out. Why did she come back? Why was I so obsessed with impressing her? God, she feels so different now. Now that she's far from my grasp, and I realize that there was more to each dreamy, doomed glance that she gave me. I'm starting to get starstruck by the tricks my mind can play on me. I'm so impressive when I regress, bringing death back to life with a flick of a firm wrist, risking it all for one last kiss, the only one I will ever have from the only one I ever wanted. I leave people's lives all the time, fading away like morning frost, until they only think of me every now and again with a deep pain in their chest because I never said goodbye. I never said goodbye to her because I knew it would tear my heart from underneath my halter neck dress, so I just faded away like ether in the air, stumbling through all the messes that I made till she decided to reappear. Every now and again I have this thing where I have a dream about somebody, and the dream kind of tells me, oh, by the way, you may not have noticed it at the time that this was happening, but you were probably in love with this person, so think about that for a while. And then for the next couple of days after, it's like I can't stop thinking about them, and it's like I'm feeling all of the things that I repressed at the time in like one quick cycle, and then it goes away, I guess. I don't know. I had a lot of weird dreams this week. I have one dream where my granddad divorced my grandma and then married Nicki Minaj, and I was like, what the fuck? I actually woke up and I wanted to call him and yell at him. I was really upset. It was just fucking weird. And at this, I actually called him about it later in the day once I calmed down and realized that it wasn't real. And I said to him about it, and he said, I don't know who that woman is. And I was like, thank God. Please don't Google her, and please don't leave grandma. What the fuck? But it felt really real, and I was really distressed when I woke up. Like, I was so angry at him in the dream. I was like, how could you do this? What is wrong with you? I can't believe you've done this. So it's a good job I didn't ring him then, because I think, you know, if I'd have woken him up at like 7 in the morning and been like, how could you? He would not have been pleased with that. But earlier this week, I had a dream about someone that I knew a very long time ago. And we were best friends. And we were really, really close. And like, we would talk all the time. You know, if we weren't talking in person, we were texting, or we were talking on MSN or sending emails and all that. We'd just basically spent all of our time together in some capacity, or we'd be talking on the phone. after I'd gone to bed when I was supposed to be asleep, I would be on the phone talking to each other. And like sometimes, like we'd be texting and then I'd fall asleep and she would text me, she'd say, "Oh, I think you've fallen asleep, I'll see you tomorrow at school." And I was so, like, it was intense. It was like, she was like the center of my whole world. And I felt like I was that too for her. But I would always just, you know, people would make jokes about us, like, being together, being in a relationship or whatever. And I just always laugh it off and be like, "No, that's ridiculous. What are you talking about?" And she would do the same. But like looking back, I'm like, nah, I'm pretty sure that was, I mean, I think maybe there was a bit more to that than gals being pals. And so I had a dream. I was going to a school reunion. My school has not yet had a reunion. If it did have one, I probably wouldn't go because, I mean, why? Why would I? I don't really see the point of those kinds of things. It's like, if I wanted to be connected to someone that I went to school with, it's very easy to do that now. I could just find them on social media and, like, you know, connect with them there. And you know, there are people that, you know, I went to school with that I didn't always like get on with or whatever, you know, and they have, you know, we have connected over social media and, you know, all that's very far away because obviously we're different people now, we're adults. And, you know, so I have people that, like, you know, we didn't get on at school, or like people that didn't even acknowledge that I existed at school that, you know, we follow each other on like social media or whatever and we talk and, you know, we congratulate each other on all of our adult achievements and it's very nice. So I don't really see the point in going to like a whole big event where we all go there and, well, I don't even know. But you know what I mean? Like I think it seems a bit of a redundant concept now that there's like Facebook and Instagram and things. But anyways, but in this dream, so I went to a school reunion and she was there. And she looked exactly the same as she did when we were at school. And you know the funny thing? She actually still does. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just, you know, it's just interesting. I mean, when... because I haven't seen this person since probably when I was about 21. So about 8 years now, but we're still like friends on social media, so like sometimes I'll just like see, you know, her posts pop up on my feed or whatever, you know, and she so she looked pretty much the same, just, you know, as an adult. Although the last time I saw her she was an adult, so, you know, and we just, it was like we kept running into each other during this evening, you know. And then at some point she just said, "I need to talk to you." She took me off outside to the car park. Down by the dance studio. My school had two dance studios. I mean, when I started there, it had one, but then they got another one because they got a bunch of funding to build like this big dance studio and it's very fancy. She took me down towards that one, the big fancy one. And then we were just talking and then I noticed we were holding hands. And I was like, how did that happen? What? Oh my God. And then I woke up and I was like, okay, what the fuck? What was that? What's going on with that? Was I potentially in love with her the whole time? And this is the worst thing, because sometimes I can't even tell. And I'm like, I don't know if that was how I felt, because this was a long time ago and I don't remember. And so then, like, the whole day after that, I just thought about her a lot and just, like, thinking about memories. And I have these pictures from this trip we went on. I looked at them and I just thought, what was I thinking during that moment? What was I feeling? I mean, I always wanted to be with her and be around her. Was that because I was in love with her? Or was that because I had a very small group of friends and she was one of them, and I just didn't want to be on my own? Like, I was trying to figure it all out in my head, and I got nowhere. And so I don't really know, you know. I think the problem is because I spent a long time trying to push down a lot of things that I felt. The potential is there that I felt something about her, but also it could just be like I've imagined that in my head. I don't know. What do I look like to you, a psychologist? But I mean, I suppose it doesn't really matter anyway. I mean, it's not like I'm gonna go and tell her. That would be mental. I mean, you know, firstly, because she was sort of on the other side of that, you know, and yes, I was like always texting her, calling her, whatever, but she was doing the same. But that doesn't necessarily mean that she is in the same position as me, like several years later, thinking, oh my God, were we gay? Like, you know. There is a very real possibility that she was just a person whose friendship is intense, and that she is straight. So I don't want to like go to her and be like, hey, so I don't know, but like, I think maybe we were in love. I don't want to say that because I don't want to make her feel weird. And what would it accomplish, you know? Like, what would be gained from that? Nothing. And so I didn't really know what to do with it all. I was like, I can't say anything now. That would be a fucking disaster, right? But also, repeatedly overthinking it is just going to drive me mad. So I did what I always do, and I wrote an angsty poem about it. Yeah. Maybe one day I'll solve the mystery. Maybe when I get to the end of my life and I get to heaven, I don't know if this actually happens, but like, I hope there's a bit where you get to like ask God a bunch of questions about your life, and I'll be like, right, give me the real. Was I in love with this person? And tell me this. Why did this happen to me? And tell me this. Why the fuck did Ryan Murphy insist on ruining every single one of his shows in like the second or third season? What was going on with that? What was going on with him? What was going on with me? And I hope that I'll get all my answers. Because otherwise, I'm going to be real, like, unsatisfied, walking around heaven with an attitude, being a brat, being like, why won't you tell me? Why you got to keep all the mysteries to yourself? These are the mysteries of life, but I'm not alive no more. Tell me. Don't be a bitch. Oh my God, are you allowed to call God a bitch? he'll be standing there with his hand on the lever, like, you call me a bitch one more time, you're going downstairs. And I'll be like, I'm sorry, daddy, okay? I'm sorry. I could feel the thunder in my hair extensions. Nothing makes sense for me, you know. I'm just always that kind of girl, the impossible kind who finds unthinkable and inconceivable experiences and then just lives them. So it was not a surprise to me when a sound shook my body but began at inanimate strands of hair. I wasn't supposed to be there that night. Or any night, for that matter. The night sky is not for the eyes of women, though the moon has always been our mother. She is stalked by demonic danger that demands we are locked behind doors that are smeared with sacrificial blood. So we never get to go home and meet the wonderful, watchful eye of our mother dearest. I was raised to be a reader. Stories, plays, street signs, situations. My eyes are the quickest draw in the West, racing to keep up with my eager mind. And God, I am so sharp. Truly, I have never met a match for me intellectually, but my arms and my legs let me down. So in my search for safe spots that are well lit, crowds of women that could shield me, I look for them. A policeman that won't stumble into the stereotypes and be a worse fate than what's outside. I look for him. I took a walk that night, you see. I thought, I am free, and off I went, ignoring the threatening glare of the dark and the winding, never-ending path that it created. The way that the night bullied the streetlights out of its turf and left me all alone, all asunder. And then he appears. The one I was warned about. The one who is allegedly an exception to his kind, although it's always a different one every time. I can hear his every move because I'm not listening to loud music. I can see him completely because we are both bathed in yellow light that isn't brave enough to save me. He calls out and it is thunder running down my hair extensions. He grabs me and it is thunder running down my hair extensions. He touches me and it is thunder running down my hair extensions, because if I hear thunder, then the lightning can't be far. And if the lightning comes, then maybe it will strike him. And maybe if it strikes him, I can make it out intact because I did everything I'm supposed to do. I just tried to walk 2 minutes to the shop and now he won't stop. But I took every step that everyone told me to take, and it's still a mistake because he did it anyway. And it doesn't matter who I tell because it will still be my fault. I can hear thunder inside of my head, because hearing his heavy breathing hurts too much, and I try to pretend that I'm dead because maybe he won't be into that. Maybe necrophilia is a bridge too far. Maybe a murder charge would awaken some kind of fear in him, but it doesn't. It never would have. I hear thunder because the lightning will come if I ask it politely. The lightning will come if I wish hard enough and I hope deeply enough. The lightning will come, and the street will be blinding and blessed. I talked about this a little on my other podcast. There's been a rise in hate crime against LGBT people, and the police's advice was basically, don't listen to loud music when you're out at night. Stay in well-lit areas. Prioritize your personal safety, as if LGBT people are not doing that anyway. And a lot of people point out it's the same thing they said to women when Sarah Everard was murdered. And it's the same thing they say after every crime against women, LGBT people, vulnerable people, just everybody really, that gets a lot of coverage. The police will come out and be like, oh,
make sure you don't have headphones in, make sure you stick where the streetlights are, make sure you don't travel alone, blah, blah, blah.
And it's like, you know what? Why don't you make sure that you do your fucking jobs? Get criminals off the street. Why? What? But you know what? Here's the thing. Even if you do all the things you're meant to fucking do, someone could still attack you. And many people will. Like, it literally doesn't matter. You could stay home from, like, 4 p.m., until like 8 a.m. the next day. Guess what? You could be attacked during daylight hours. I have. I remember I was meeting some friends. I got off at the train station. I walked out. This man was behind me. And I stopped to get my phone out of my bag, so that I could ring my friends and check if they were there yet. This man standing behind me, he put his hand up my skirt into my underwear. I tried to push him off. He literally said, "Don't be like that." Like, the level of fucking insane you have to be to say that. And this was daylight. It was about sometime in the afternoon. Outside of a train station. It was Bromley North. I never went to that train station again. The only reason I'd done it is because it was easier for me to just go there, because the pub I was meeting my friends with was up by there. But after that, I was just like, no, I'm going to go to Bromley South because it's more crowded there and there's more people. But, you know, it was the daytime. I was in a public place. It was well lit because it was fucking daytime. I had a rape alarm in my bag. I remember, right, when I went to uni, my granddad bought me a rape alarm, and I remember thinking it was the stupidest thing, because I had lived in the country most of my life. I'd never really lived in a big city or anything like that, or a big town. As a kid, I didn't really go out loads. You know, I used to stay home a lot because I like to just stay in and write, or, you know, that sort of stuff. And so I think I was quite naive. I thought to myself, why am I going to need this? And I actually found it quite annoying. I remember it once going off in the middle of a lecture because it was a key ring, so I had it on my keys. And it went off when I was trying to get something from my bag, and I was so embarrassed. I turned to my friend and she was like, "What the hell is that?" And I was like, "It's my rape alarm." And she looked at me like I was crazy, and I was like, "My granddad made me take it with me, I'm sorry." And it was so embarrassing because everyone's staring at me and there's this fucking rape alarm going off in my bag, and I'm trying to turn it off during a fucking lecture. But I had that rape alarm that day. I couldn't, like, connect the thought in my brain to get it out of my bag and press it. But even if I had, I don't know if it would have helped. But the fact is, it was daytime. I was in a public place. And it still fucking happened. You know? Same thing. I've been at well-lit train stations with lots of people around. It still happened. Same thing. I have been you know, well-lit streets, don't have my headphones in, looking around. If I see somebody else cross the road, it can still happen. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to fucking lock myself in my house all the time, order my fucking shopping in, quit work, just stay at home for the rest of my fucking life because the police have decided that it's now my job to stop sexual crime because they don't want to or whatever. And society has decided it's like problematic to expect the, you know, the perpetrators of this to actually change their behavior. So women as a whole, LGBT people as a whole, have to stop this behavior. If we don't want to be attacked or to have violence happen to us, we have to fucking stay home or whatever. No, I have shit to do. Okay, I just do. I have shit to do. I can't. Some days I would fucking love to live in my house forever and just stay there and never leave. I just stay in bed. There's 31 seasons of The Simpsons on Disney Plus, and Uber Eats delivers to my house. So some days I think, why do I even leave? But like, I have to live. Don't I have to live my life. I have to do things. I have to see people. I have to have fun. I have to go out. But when I go out, I have to be hyper vigilant because I don't know that even if I take all the right steps and I do all the right things, I don't know if I'm gonna come home the same way I left the house. I don't know if when I go out, something fucking traumatic is gonna happen to me. I don't know. Because even if I do all the right things and I take all the right steps and I do everything they tell me that I should do to keep myself safe, it's never enough. It is never, ever enough. Because it could still happen, and it does still happen. And I'm just tired. So I kind of want to write something about, like, I guess, like, nature fighting back. You know the police aren't gonna save you. To be honest, a lot of the time strangers will not intervene and save you, not in my experience anyway. So all you can think of is Mother Nature is a woman. I hope she sends some lightning and stops this. I hope a pack of wild dogs intervenes and stops this. I hope suddenly, I don't know, like the sea just relocates onto this fucker's head and drowns him and gets him off me. I don't know. Just something. Because no human seems to want to help me. So I turn to the earth instead. Because it's all I have left. It's the only thing that could potentially give a fuck.
Thank you for listening to Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. If you want to find more of my work, you can on my website, jenniferwan.com, or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, SoundCloud, and pretty much every social media website ever with the username Miss J Squared. Thank you to my amazing top tier Patreon supporters, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Casey, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, Eleanor, Alicia, Emily, Andy, and Tyler. I'll see you next time.